105.7 The Hawk, classic rock for the Jersey Shore. Welcome to the Barnabas Health High School Football Show, live from the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River, and powered by Community, Kimball, and Monmouth Medical Centers. Kevin Williams, Ed Sarluka, and Matt Harmon talk Shore Conference High School Football on the Shore Sports Network, 105.7 The Hawk and 105.7thehawk.com.
And on this 11th day of October 2012, welcome to the Barnabas Health High School Football Show. We are broadcasting live from Baker's Water Street Grill, overlooking the beautiful scenic Toms River. We're in downtown Toms River, where we are every Thursday night, and you're, of course, always invited to stop on by. A great place to catch the sports action, and there'll be a ton of it tonight. Boy, what a night with the Yankee playoff game, NFL Thursday Night Football, and for those inclined, the vice presidential debate, although I tend to think that will be third on the pecking order here tonight.
Well, maybe four, because if you throw the college game in there, too, right?
But we only set the scene for all of that. We take you to late 30 tonight talking high school football, a little college sprinkled in later on with Monmouth coach Kevin Callahan, but we are getting set for week six of the high school football season. We are past the midway point, and coming up tonight, we will focus in on both Central Regional and Point Pleasant Beach. We'll chat momentarily with Central coach Vince Casale and one of his players later in this hour, Point Beach coach John Wagner and one of his players, the Garnet Gulls, coming off a huge win over Asbury Park last week. In between, Colts Neck coach Greg LaCava. They have been a good story this year and are undefeated, heading into a big game this weekend. Of course, Scott Stump from All Shore Media will do his little mid-season report with us in hour number two, our football picks, and so much more. The Nationals, by the way, just hit a walk-off. Jason Worth, ex-Philly, game-winning walk-off homer. So ex-Philly's back-to-back days, right?
Exactly.
Raul Abanez yesterday, Jason Worth today. The Nationals stay alive in their series. Cincinnati Reds got knocked out today. An incredible story. The Reds win the first two games of the best of five in San Francisco. A home lose three straight. That has never happened in the National League before. And are out of the playoffs. And that's disappointing news for our hometown guy Todd Frazier from Toms River, who did get a pinch hit single in the eighth inning today, but the Reds fell behind early 6-0, never could make it up as they fall 6-4 of coming up in just over half an hour. Yankees Orioles game four, and let's go Baltimore. Okay, so we've sort of set the stage for that. And as I say, good evening to my broadcasting colleagues, Mr. Ed Sarluka and Mr. Matt Harmon. We are coming off a week ago, guys, week five of the season, in which the story was the bye week. I think 14 teams had byes, by far the most of the season, and there were really three games last weekend that had major implications towards division races, and that's where you're at this time of year. Monsignor Donovan beating Point Burrow in one of those, 28-14. That was an impact game in Class B South. In Class A South, Brick Memorial's a stirring 40-28 win over Neptune. And in Class B Central, Point Pleasant Beach's 54-20 rout of Asbury Park. We're going to save that one for when Coach Wagner joins us a little bit later in this hour. But, guys, let's start with the game we did last Friday, a game that went back and forth for a while, and Brick Memorial beating Neptune, which shook up all the top 10 polls this week and I think sent a major message that the Mustangs are without question one of the Shore's better teams. Matt, I'll start with you. Your take on that.
A wild game. You know, a wild game when you think about how it ultimately unfolded. I mean, Neptune starts slow. They score 28 points in the second quarter to take a 28-21 lead at halftime. And I think most people, short of maybe the person all the way to our left, thought that the Scarlet Flyers would come out in the second half and continue to roll a little bit because they had found their groove in that second quarter. I mean, you score four touchdowns in a quarter, you're doing something right, and you figure that at halftime it's going to be reinforced much of the same. Well, what a defensive display Brick Memorial put on in the second half. They blank Neptune in the third quarter. They blank him in the fourth quarter, despite Neptune having some pretty good opportunities to score and so many big play threats that were completely negated. That, to me, was the total story of the game, the way that Brick Memorial played defense in the second half. I know the Memorial offense did some good things, you know, putting up 19 points in ultimately winning the football game. But I thought it was just going to be a shootout at that point. You know, once Memorial came out and scored in the third quarter off an interception return, that totally changed the entire complexion of the football game. And I don't think Neptune ever responded again.
Yeah, I don't know if Brick Memorial could play any better offensively than they did that entire night. But ultimately, and like, doesn't it always seem to happen, it comes down to what you do on defense. And as you said, Matt, Memorial played great defense after the halftime adjustments, made some adjustments, threw the blitz in, a couple of packages of blitzes and stunts with strong safeties and linebackers, and a couple guys up front, led by Jake Lombardo, Jr. Jake Lombardo, with three sacks. They sacked
Patterson.
Patterson five times in the second half after not getting to him at all and giving Patterson all the time he wanted to throw in the first half. And it was just like a different team defensively in the second half. And that's what did it. And Memorial's off to a 5-0 start.
Yeah, you know, and looking at that game, I thought maybe the biggest adjustment, you know, we all talk about the adjustments coaches make. I just thought Brick Memorial in the second half defensively was aggressive. Where in the first half, there was a lot of sitting back, dropping off the receivers, letting them make that 10-yard catch, and then trying to converge. In the second half, they got in their face on the line of scrimmage. As you said, they brought pressure. And I thought got Neptune out of their comfort zone. Really, started throwing the ball deep downfield when they really didn't need to. And it was a superb effort in that second half.
Yeah, well, I think what happened in the first half allowed Memorial to make those adjustments and send linebackers before they were trying to drop eight people. They realized that maybe their secondary can stay with the speed of the Flyers of Neptune, which allows them to free up linebackers and safeties to blitz. That's what happened. And a couple of big defensive backs made big plays, led by Martinez, trying to cover Kirkwood and Fairbanks, the big-time receivers. And, boy, they are big-time receivers for the Flyers of Neptune.
Terrific game, Matt. Nick Costa, the linebacker who, without question, made the biggest play of the game when he intercepted that pass in the opening drive of the third quarter and took it back for a touchdown. He was our Cleese Bar and Grill Ocean Trophies play of the game. A monstrous effort. That award could have gone to Cody Pinho. It could have gone to
Ryan Saplinski,
the quarterback, who was phenomenal all night long. And it could have gone to Jake Lombardo, who had a great second half.
Yes, he did.
It was just a really good effort and an enjoyable football game for us to work.
Oh, there's no doubt. You know, I mean, it had elements of everything a little bit. It had a lot of points, which is always fun to be involved with. It had good defense. It had big plays, you know. So if you add all that stuff up together, you've got yourself a pretty good football game, and that's exactly what we had last Friday.
And no rest at all for Memorial.
The toughest job of the year for the Memorial coaches.
I agree.
Bringing the players, the Stang players, back down to earth to play another huge game, this one with a lot more on the line because it's an A-South contest against the Mariners of Toms River North on the road
tomorrow night. And then the other game, you know what, and it's interesting because we mentioned Monsignor Donovan and Point Borough. Mondon is playing as we speak right now, Thursday Night Football, Jersey Shore style. They're down in Tuckerton taking on Pinelands, a game that was moved from Friday to Thursday, so Mondon students tomorrow can attend the Eucharistic Congress at the PNC Bank Arts Center. So they moved that game to Thursday. But the Griffins, after that opening night loss, I mean, I remember us sitting here in week two 40-0 they lose to St. John Vianney, and boy, there's a team everyone thought Mondon was going to be pretty good. Matter of fact, Timmy Osborne, the Jackson Liberty coach, was our guest, and he still thought that Mondon was the team to beat in the division. I think I looked at him a little like, are you crazy? And Donovan hasn't lost since, and they're now all alone atop B-South.
Yeah, and a good football team, you know. I mean, and that is turning out to be, and I think it's been a theme the last few years. I mean, that division, just it seems like everyone takes their turn at some point towards the top of it. Last year was certainly the case, and this year when you have one team at 3-0 and then four other teams at 2-1, I mean, that division is far from far from decided.
I think the one thing we know about that division, it will probably go down to the last week
no
of the
doubt.
Season. There's no way
no doubt.
Anyone's clinching that. So, really, those were the three big games of the weekend. We mentioned, you know, there were so many buys. Middletown South, a very impressive win over Manasquan, especially bouncing back from the heartbreaking loss to Manalapan the week before. Shore over Holmdel in impressive fashion. A Lacey rolled past Manchester. Tom's Reese got their first win over Howell. Wall beat Brick. Ocean over Red Bank. I mean, Monmouth beat Raritan. Monmouth doing a nice job getting that first W of the season. So those are some of the things from last week. But as we get set for week six, man, I cannot believe it's the sixth weekend of the season. Tomorrow night we'll be at the home of the Golden Eagles. Central Regional will entertain Barnegat in another big B-South game. They're all big, and it's a Hall of Fame night at Central. Should be a great atmosphere, and we're delighted to be joined by their head coach and also the athletic director there, Vince Casal, and he's brought along his starting inside linebacker, one of his senior co-captains, Blake Jambor. Guys had a chance to get something to eat here at the Water Street Grill. Vince, how are you?
Fine, Kevin, and thanks for inviting us here.
What'd you have to eat? Let's give us a little.
Hot chicken wings, and my mouth still burning.
All right, okay. Well, so they were hot. Blake, good to see you. Thanks for coming
good
down.
Good to see you.
Kind of a strange year for you, Coach. You're 2-2, 1-2 in the conference. You could easily be 3-0 in B South. I mean, you lose a 1-point game to Jackson Liberty, which I'm sure still burns a little bit in your stomach. And then, of course, the strange game against Point Borough, right, where they score twice on defensive touchdowns. I think on fumbles. I mean, you probably kind of feel like, you know, we could be the undefeated team in the division right now.
Well, first of all, the two teams that we did lose to already have three wins, so they're very good teams. But against Jackson Liberty, we had four turnovers, and against Point Borough, we had three, two of which they ran back for touchdowns, like you said. So we are playing good football, but the turnovers kill you, and that's what hurt us in those two games.
Blake, let's bring Blake in.
Okay.
Middle linebacker.
Yep.
Run the defense.
Yep.
Tell us about that defense.
Our defense is really, really strong this year. We haven't been giving up many points. We've been working hard. It's just been amazing playing on that defense with our linemen doing what they need to do, our inside-outside linebackers doing what they need, our DBs stepping up. I mean, there's not much you can ask for.
Coach, and I can't take credit for this, but one of the other media people labeled this year AK, after Khalif. Okay, of course, Khalif meaning Khalif Hardy, who ran for about 1,700 yards last year. I think he scored 20 touchdowns. Tell us what that life has been like.
Well, Khalif is a special player. You only get special players once or twice in your lifetime. But we have some good kids that are working real hard, and they're just doing the best we can, and they're doing very well.
You know, one of the things, AK, is when a coach has to adjust to the players he has. And you made that adjustment offensively, going from mainly the eye to the spread, right?
Yeah, we're in the spread right now. We have a quarterback, a junior, Marcus Drumright, that throws the ball very well. And we have some talented backs and receivers that we're trying to get in the open, get the ball to, and let their athleticism take over.
Yeah, let's just talk a little bit about the adjustment. You know, this, I think, is your fifth season at Central.
Yes.
And, of course, you've been there a long time because you're the athletic director. You took over as the coach. Superintendent kind of asked you to take over. It was probably a short experiment that's lasted longer than you thought it would. You had previous head coaching experience down at Pinelands years ago and started out a little lean. But I get the impression from you that you feel the program is certainly headed in the right direction. And maybe you're establishing a program, which is what you wanted to do.
Yeah, I think the major thing is we have a great coaching staff. I'd like to name him if I could.
Please do.
Our defensive coordinator is Willie Jacobs. He does a great job.
Former an alumnus.
Yep. And a college football player. Defensive line coach is Charlie Monanian. Linebacker coach, Chris Loveland. And our defensive back coach is Ty Dillard. And then on offense, we have the Ramsey twins. We have Walt Ramsey, our offensive coordinator, and Pat Ramsey, receiver coach. And then we have Ty Dillard's brother, Darren, on the freshman, and Angelo Mazzucca on the freshman. I think that was the one thing we got in order. We put a great coaching staff together. The kids have bought into the weightlifting. Blake will tell you we lift four times a week, even in season. We, you know, Dr. P gave us a great weight room, and it's like a, having a beautiful gym in our school. And I think that's what's really helped turn the program around.
His reference, by the way,
Dr.
is
P, I was going to
Tommy
say.
Parlapanides, yes. Who's the superintendent there,
exactly.
and a very pro-athletic administrator. He believes very much in doing the best you can to make a commitment to the athletic program.
Yes.
In all sports, which is a benefit for you as the AD as well.
Between him and the Board of Education, they're very fair and good to the athletics at Central. But academics have improved tremendously as well, so it goes hand in hand.
Yeah.
Blake, playoff team last year, okay, didn't work out too well for you in that first round. You got beat by, I believe it was Woodrow Wilson, right?
Yes.
One of the goals this year?
The repeat of what we did last year, just not lose the first round.
Exactly. But, you know, I went through your record last year. So many close losses last year. Every game was close. You know, 2 points here, 3 points here. You know, and again, this year started out pretty much the same way. How do we turn that around?
We just keep playing the way we have been playing. Like
exactly.
There have been like small mistakes that mm-hmm. we have hopefully fixed. But I mean, we've been playing strong. There's not really much you can ask for a team more to do. So we just keep doing what we're doing. I think we should be fine.
You're coming off the bye week
yeah.
to get ready. So you've had 2 weeks to get ready for Barnegat. Now, if I remember correctly, they were kind of the team that spoiled it for you last year, right?
That was a two-point loss.
Yeah, it was a heartbreaking 16, loss last
16,
year. Probably
14, yeah.
derailed your chances of winning the division title. And it's sort of like crunch time for you. I'm sure you feel like we really can't lose again now.
Oh, no, we can't.
Good 2 weeks of practice? I mean, how was the bye week?
It was a tough 2 weeks. We hit hard. We played well. Our team did great on those 2 weeks.
Go back to some of the basics? Like
Yeah. we went back to the basics of, like, tackling, hitting, blocking, passing, and we looked phenomenal.
Coach, a unique situation will happen tomorrow night. You're going to face a team that's going to be playing a different quarterback, a quarterback that you probably definitely didn't see him in a game because he has been ineligible for 30 days. That's St. John Erskine, the transfer student from Holy Spirit. How do we adjust to him?
Well, first of all, Robbie Davis does a great job at Barnegat. Year in and year out, he sends out great teams. And when he tells you that this kid is special, you have to believe it. Like I said, and like you said, we didn't really see much of him. Mm-hmm. We prepared for a very athletic quarterback that can run, that can throw. Like I tell the kids all the time, it boils down to is if we block and tackle better, we're going to win the football game.
Did you have a good preparation week with the bye? Did it come at a good time for you?
I hate the bye.
Yeah. Don't most coaches hate it, let's be honest.
But the kids worked hard. To be honest with you, we played five games already. We split the squad, and every day we just went at it. And mm-hmm. that's what we did. And Blake will tell you it was a half an hour game every day. So we just didn't want to come in rusty. We wanted to be hit all the time and get ready.
Blake, I'll ask you basically almost the same question. I mean, you've heard a lot, right?
Yeah.
Through the media and through probably players about this kid, and then they also have another 300 pounder up front that, you know, is probably gonna, you know, make some noise tomorrow. You know, how are you prepared defensively, and how is the defense prepared?
We're ready to go at him. Like, we have our linemen up front who are gonna put pressure on him.
Mention some of those guys.
Right end, Jesse Brown. Left end, Josh Foca. Our left tackle, Steve Kapik. Our right tackle, Brian Kelly. And we have our, like, outside linebackers who are going to be put pressure on the wide receivers, like Manny Bowen and Ernie Ropis and Nick Imperial. And we got our DBs, like Ambrose Powell and Javon Hardy with Tom Clark.
I would think that this, either of you could answer this, would be a big adjustment game. In other words, what are they trying to do to us maybe in that first quarter? Then we've got to make the next move and adjust to what this kid can do and what, you know, type of offense they're going to and run.
Yeah, and like what you said is they can come out and start running option.
You don't
really
know.
And if if he is as good a runner as we're led to believe, and I'm sure he is, we're going to have to be prepared for that, as well as him throwing a ball, you know, 70 yards, which they say he can do.
Right. We're talking with Central Regional Head Coach Vince Casale and his senior co-captain inside linebacker Blake Jambor. This B-South is like, it's literally throw it up in the air and what falls down. I mean, I said to Matt before, there's one thing I can guarantee you. Your division will not be decided until the last weekend. There's nobody clinching that baby early. I assume it makes every game a challenge.
Yes, it does, and there's great coaches in the division, and we have very good teams. And like you mentioned before, Dan Dunney has done an amazing job at Mondon. They're playing right now. But every coach in the division, coaching staffs have done a great job. So every week it's a grind.
Yeah, there's really only two teams out of it in that division. Pinelands and Manchester both sitting 0-5 and winless at 0-3 in the division. But, yeah, it's just week in and week out, you know, a grind for you.
Yes, it is.
Hall of Fame night tonight should be a great atmosphere. Tomorrow night. What did I say, tonight?
Tonight, yeah.
It should be a great atmosphere. Kurt Leiter, who was, I always say, he's the least known of the three great pitching Leiter brothers. But at one time, some of us thought he was the one that actually was going to go the furthest. He was a great pitcher in the 70s, graduated in 79.
Pitched at Oklahoma State.
Had a great career at Oklahoma State.
16-3 record.
And
pitched in two College World Series.
Tremendous.
After I read his bio, I said to Dr. P, I said, why is he not in?
Yeah, what took us so long? But I remember watching him in the College World Series, and then he gets picked by the Orioles. He gets all the way to their 40-man roster, and at that time, when you got an arm injury, it kind of ended your career. He had some arm injuries, and that was the end. And I think he lives all the way out in Washington
he's
now.
He's coming, though, and both Leiter brothers are coming as well.
Oh, that's nice, because I'm the one. I actually got in touch with Kurt for Tommy, and he was really excited about it. And Kelly McGowan, who was a great three-sport star at Central in the late 80s.
Especially in softball. She was a
terrific
softball
player. But I obviously have a little fondness for what will happen tomorrow night as well, is you're going to induct the 1971 Central Regional football team into the Hall of Fame. Now, look, I'm going to say I was a member of that team. I won't go anywhere else, Luch. I'm not going to say I was an important member. I got a lot of fourth quarter time. That was about it. But that was a magical group, and I've gone on Facebook this week with some of the, and there's going to be a lot of the guys coming back tomorrow night, and that should be a lot of fun.
It is, and some of the guys still come around. And
yep.
Of course, Joe Boyd was the best, and it's just nice to honor that team.
Yeah, so it should be a good atmosphere, you know.
Blake, how about the school? The school amped up for this ball game?
Oh, I don't know about the school, but I sure.
You'd like to play right now, huh?
I like to play every day. Every day's game day.
You know, it's only been within the last few years that Central have really upgraded their entire complex. You know, must be nice playing there now. I mean, you know, it wasn't always like it is right now. Bleacher-wise, field-wise, and everything, you know.
Everything's nice there. Like, our field's getting better. Our bleachers are amazing. Like,
right.
Even the fans, there's more and more of them. Like, a couple years ago, you'd see, like, a couple fans in the stands. Right. They'd be, like, dedicated moms or something.
band parents,
yeah,
right?
Band parents. And now you see like, everyone from the school there just cheering you guys, cheering us on. And there's nothing really you can ask for more than that.
Senior?
Yep.
Plans next year?
To go to college, which I don't know yet.
Okay, but I mean, would you like to play?
But yeah,
maybe small.
I love that. Yeah,
Division
III
school.
Yeah,
great.
You know, Blake, I mean, we didn't ask
hit.
And yeah, tell
tough.
Us a little bit about this guy. Blake, you brought Blake, him here for a reason.
Well, he's obviously one of our captains. He's a tremendous leader. I'm so proud of how he handles the kids on the team. He's going to be a great coach one day, because he says things before we even can think him as coaches, and he's just tough as nails. Great tackler. And comes up with the big play when he has to.
You know,
nice testament.
It is. It's very interesting. We got two guests here tonight at Water Street. Yourself, Central Regional Program, John Wagner, and the Beach Program. Both of them brought their inside linebackers and the people that run the defense. That's pretty interesting to me, at least.
Yeah, and he's the heart and soul of our defense. And our defensive coaches are amazing. They have our kids ready all the time. And I hope tomorrow's a great game.
Well, we're looking forward to being there and broadcasting that game. It's our game of the week on 105.7 The Hawk, a 7 o'clock kickoff, also on shoresportsnetwork.com. Should be a lot of fun.
Can I ask one quick question?
Sure.
Khalif Hardy, just give us a quick update.
He's at Kane. We thought he was going to get redshirted, but he actually started at cornerback. So he's not going to get redshirted, and he's going to play. Now, I don't know if he'll get some offensive time. They have two very good tailbacks, but they did put him in at cornerback. And we have Adam Skidmore, who's starting at Tulane University. So we have a couple
big
guys.
Big lineman, right? Yeah. Big lineman, yeah.
And we got Matt Kiefer, starting center at Kane as well.
So I'm sure you got to enjoy that when you're following.
We try to see them as much as we could.
Yeah, well, playing on Friday nights gets you a chance to see them
on Saturday,
right?
Yeah.
Well, listen, tell Dr. P we're looking for the hot dogs at halftime tomorrow. He always takes care of us.
He'll have more than hot dogs, Dr.
Hey,
P.
Hey, I tell you what, nobody hosts us better than he does. So we're looking forward to being there. It's a great facility now, a great place for a Friday night football game. We think tomorrow night will be a dandy, and I know you're trying to pay Barney to get back a little bit from last year. You'd like to have 2 points more than them this time around.
Yeah.
So we'll look for you tomorrow night, Blake. And Vinny, is always a pleasure. Thanks so much for coming down.
Right.
Can't wait to see you.
Thanks for having us, guys.
All right. Vince Casale, Blake Jambor from Central Regional. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll chat with Colts Neck coach Greg LaCava after this. You're listening to the Barnabas Health High School Football Show on 105.7 The Hawk.